And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
EO Saturnalia. I might be wondering what I was saying here. Usually say, hello, friends, this is Tex Mars, but I thought I would just give you the greeting that they must be making now in Washington, D.C., Babylon. EO Saturnalia. Well, I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, friends, and I do welcome you to Power of Prophecy today. But we have a special program today. It's called Down the Rabbit Hole, Volume 6. Remember the book, and of course they made a movie from it now, Alice in Wonderland. Little Alice, you know, followed the rabbit down the rabbit hole, and boy, what she found was a whole other world there, a bizarro world, strange. Things were just not like they were on this earth, and I guess it's a little bit like Dorothy, you know, in Wizard of Oz. Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. Well, have you ever just looked around at what's going on in America, and especially in Washington, D.C., and turned to your wife and said, well, Sally or Linda or Ellen or Kimberly, whatever her name is, I don't think we're in America anymore. I think we've gone off to some other, you know, like the movie Blade Runner, some strange world. Well, we are down the rabbit hole here in America, aren't we? And we've been going deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole, and I really think this has turned out to be an insane asylum. And you know, if you've got any brains, if you're just a normal person and you're not insane, if you have common sense, and especially if you're a Christian and a patriot, my goodness, you're not acceptable. You know, the psychiatric profession has their little manual of disorders, mental disorders and diseases, and I suspect that you and I, being traditional Americans, are, well, we have a mental defect. We have a mental disease, a flaw, according to the majority of Americans, and certainly our nation's leadership. Today I want to talk to you about the Saturnalia that's going on in Washington, D.C., the sexual perversions of the satanic elite. I call Washington, D.C. Babylon. You know, I was looking at the map some years ago. Juan and I were scheduled to go up to Niagara Falls in upper New York on the border there with Canada, and I was one of the keynote speakers at a prophecy conference. And I was looking at the map and all of that. I've always been intrigued about the names of towns and cities. You know, here in Texas, we've got a Moscow, a New London. We've got all kind of names that seem foreign. We've got an Athens, Greece, Athens, Texas, a Rome, Texas. Interesting. There, not too far from New York City, was the town of Babylon. Now, I don't know what kind of town folk would give their city or town the name of Babylon, but I suspect there was a very good reason for it being named such. Well, I'm going to give Washington, District of Columbia, which in itself is a mystery, since isn't that the name of one of the great pagan goddesses, Columbia? Yes, it is. District of Columbia. But I call it Babylon. We ought to really, why don't we just call it what it is? Babylon on the Potomac. The Potomac River, of course, is the river that flows through there. Not a very clean river, I understand. Still quite polluted. I suppose each congressman that goes by spits out the window. That would keep it pretty dirty, wouldn't it? I'm just making that up. In any case, I want to talk about the Saturnalia that's held, celebrations that are held in Babylon on the Potomac 365 days a year. Now, if you want to go to Wikipedia online, free encyclopedia, you'll find out that Saturnalia, and by the way, this is in all the encyclopedias, is an ancient Roman festival held in honor of Saturn. He was a very strange god. the hidden God. The planet Saturn, which turns out to be the sixth from the sun, is Saturn. He was also called Cronus. He was the god of time, of the calendar. He brought in the new year and he took out the new year. Or I should say the old year, and ushered in the new. He was one of the Titans. He was father, one of the father gods of the Greeks and the Romans. He was the son of Uranus and Gaia. Because he was tied to the environment in some way. But he was Saturn, which is the father of Rome's primary god. Its top god was called Jupiter. Now, in the Greek pantheon of gods, I don't mean to confuse you, but he was called Zeus. And he was often called Father Zeus by the Greeks. So he was the god above the great god. You know, if you go to New York City today, visit the United Nations, a very interesting place. Talk about a Babylon. Well, that's one. It's interesting that when you enter the United Nations building, I was sort of surprised when I went inside the lobby there. There's a statue of a god, of Zeus, the great god of the Greeks. Isn't that astonishing? The United Nations, he's our father god, the father god of the new world order of the Illuminati, Zeus. But his father is a hidden dark god called Saturn. I believe the very name Satan came from Saturn. Now, to honor Saturn, the Romans, and I'm talking about, of course, Caesar, Caligula, Domitian, and all the other horrible and monstrous, murderous Roman emperors. They had a god named Saturn, and they had a Roman festival held in his honor. They call it the Saturnalia, the Saturnalia. And it lasted for over 3 days, up to 5 or 6 days. And the people loved it so much that Augustus tried to reduce the holiday to just 3 days, and the people had a riot. Caligula, during his time, boy, talk about a sex-crazy, sex-mad emperor. It was Caligula that had all those orgies, he and Nero. He just tried to cut 1 day from the six-day festival at that time. And there was an uproar and massive revolts among the Romans. They loved this holiday. It was full of sexual orgies, wine, drinking. And the social order was turned on its end during this time. Did you know that they allowed the slaves to insult their masters during Saturnalia? Everything that was normal was turned around. It was satanic. And they had a customary greeting. You know, we say Merry Christmas. Happy holiday. Well, their customary greeting during the days of Saturnalia was E.O. Saturnalia. That's my reason for beginning this program. Now, E.O. is another name for the great god Saturn. A Latin name, E.O. It's related to the word ho. And if you would say ho Saturn, you were basically saying Heil Saturn. Heil Saturn. Or I salute you, Saturn. Salute. All kind of things went on. The school children were allowed to gamble. Even the slaves were allowed to participate in lotteries and gambling during this time. Outside the Temple of Saturn in the great city of Rome, they brought forth the statue of Saturn so the people could bow down to Saturn. And strangely, they brought out a couch because sex was sort of enjoyed during that period. And during that day, there was sort of swinging, you know. You'd have sex with people that were a woman that was not your wife or your man if it was your husband. pretty just a riotous, Discordian, evil holiday. The devils must have really enjoyed it. You know, the Greeks also had their Bacchanalia. Very similar. And they actually, some of the peoples actually worship a god called Priapus. And his little, I don't want to get into too far, I don't want children to be listening, but they had idols made of him that were in the shape of a man's sex organ. Priapus was his name. You say that's strange. Well, I don't know. I drive in many American cities and I find buildings and all kind of architecture dedicated to sexual cult gods. I even did a whole video to prove it's going on around the world right in front of our eyes. Sex cults are still active to this day. Freemasonry is a sex cult. Mormonism is a sex cult. The entire Jewish religion, Judaism, is a sex cult. Now, I know that's vulgar and it's sickening, but it's true. Now, I want to prove to you what I'm saying about Washington, D.C. being a Babylonian, Saturnalian sex cult. But first, I want to take you a little trip around the world to show you some people that are just common names, famous people, celebrities. Now, I guess I could be here all Jerry. Jerry's over here at the broadcasting machines. We could be here for weeks just talking about the Saturnalian festivals, the Bacchanalian festivals going on, the rage of Bacchus, the great Greek god Bacchus, and the orgies they had. You know, they had these. They still have, I understand, you know, merry-go-round the maypole in England, in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot of the schools. I did it when I was a schoolboy. I didn't know what it was. Teachers got us out there, and we had here we go round the, you know, whatever, you know, that little ditty they used to. The maypole. That was a time of orgies and drinking, and of course we didn't do it as school kids, but I don't know. Guess they were getting us already ready to go. Maybe some of those kids would turn out to be congressmen and senators. They needed that information about the maypole dancing, didn't they? Over in India, of course, they worship sex gods and goddesses. They have little idols of them in the temples, and the women go in there and use them to do certain things. I'm not even going to talk about that. Sick, isn't it? Well, there are a lot of gurus that are worshipped by the whole Western world. For example, Mahatma Gandhi. Well, a new book just came out. Come to find out, Gandhi was as gay as a $3 bill. He was a homosexual. Boy, they didn't put that in his movie. Remember that famous movie, Gandhi? That guy, the actor Ben Kingsley, got the Academy Award and all that. Pope John Paul II went over to India and visited the grave of Gandhi and communed with his spirit. Makes you wonder about Pope John Paul II. It makes you wonder if he's like about 80% of all the priests in the world. They're all a bunch of homosexual weirdos. Say, Tex, you don't know that for sure. I think I do. I know I do. I can show you books written by top Catholic researchers that prove it. But Gandhi was bisexual. He left his wife to live, listen to this, with a Jewish bodybuilder from Germany. A Jewish bodybuilder. And Gandhi lived together. You know, Gandhi's a little skinny guy. This guy's a bodybuilder. His name was Hermann Kallenbach. And Gandhi wrote him love letters, and included was this statement: "How completely, Hermann, you have taken possession of my body. This is slavery with a vengeance." Hope I got the accent right. Just true. It's absolutely true. Sick? Yes. But Gandhi is the world's hero. His Pope John Paul II communed at his grave with his spirit. Then we have Tony Blair. Tony Blair, he was the Prime Minister of England during George Bush's era. Blair is now very, very wealthy. The Jews have given him a lot of money. for helping to fight the Iraqi war, the Afghanistan war. The British ex-Prime Minister Tony Blair now lives in a 7-story mansion in East Jerusalem in 5-star luxury. The Millionaire's Row, they call the area in the city of East Jerusalem. He has 15 rooms. Well, in any case, Blair is living on Millionaire's Row. And why not? He helped to kill millions of Arabs for the Jews when he was prime minister. Now, Blair, since he's left the prime minister post, has divorced his wife. All those rumors about Blair being a homosexual were just too much for her. So Sherry Blair left him. Meanwhile, he converted to Catholicism. I can understand why a nice British boy like Tony Blair, being a homosexual, would want to join the Catholic Church, wouldn't you? And as it turned out, according to the British press, no sooner had Tony Blair joined the Catholic Church than his own priest, the man that who had mentored him into the Catholic Church, as it turns out, is himself a homosexual weirdo and runs a secret underground sex cult that meets at the Piccadilly area of London in a famous hotel underground. It's painted pink. I told you about it. It's painted pink. And butch muscle men who are gays dress up in nuns' habits, nuns' garb, and greet you at the door. And they have male gay strippers up there stripping for the pleasure of Tony Blair and his homosexual priest. Now the priest is in a little bit of trouble. He's been selling Vatican Knights, Order of Vatican Knights certificates, telling people they could be, you know, be knighted for a certain amount of money to him. I guess he was using the money to run his painted pink sex club down in the bottom of the building there at Piccadilly Square. Tony Blair's implicated in all this. No wonder he converted to Catholic. I mean, so the Southern Baptists have their queers too, but I mean, they're nothing. It's party 365 days a year, the Catholic Church. When they're not doing it to each other, they're doing it to little boys. Disgusting. Gandhi, Tony Blair, his priest. Then there's Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew. You know, William just got married. But his brother, Prince Andrew, I think it's his brother, isn't it? I don't know, they all get mixed up over there to me. There's Prince Philip, Prince Charles, every man a prince, at least in the Windsor royal family. According to the Mail newspaper of London, Prince Andrew flew all the way to America to be given massages at billionaire Jason Epstein's mansion in Palm Beach, Florida. Now imagine, the Prince Andrew of Britain flying to the United States in his private jet to be given daily massages by a, get this, 16-year-old underage girl. I think that's called a felony criminal act. But don't think that Obama is going to indict him for that. How did all this come out? I said Jason's actually Jeffrey Epstein, who lives in an $8 million house in Palm Beach. This Jewish multimillionaire is big friends with the royal family. And he's invited them all to come over and receive special services by his monsieurs and others. I have a picture right in front of my hands. Andrew pictured with his arm around the 16-year-old girl, Virginia Roberts. Now, Andrew liked the young masseuse so much that he sent his jet over to pick her up later on and bring her back to London, to the castle, so they could have some more sex Tita Teets. They call her, by the way, an erotic masseuse. And according to the Mail newspaper, there is no suggestion that Andrew had sexual contact. Now let's see. Sexual erotic massages, but no sexual contact. There's no proof. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. By the way, it goes on to tell all the squalid details. At the Jeffrey Epstein mansion, naked pictures of women all over the walls and so forth. Then there's Dominic Strauss-Kahn, another Jew. Yeah, he's in Crossbar Hotel in New York. You know, just a couple of weeks before he was arrested for raping the young black girl in his hotel suite, for which he paid, what, $3,500 a night? The head of the International Monetary Fund. Now, let me just say right away, most of the money for the International Monetary Fund, it's not really international. It comes from the United States of America. It comes from our taxpayer dollars. We were paying this crud to stay in $3,500 a night hotel suites in New York City so he could be called the head of the International Monetary Fund so he could rape women. He was asked about his alleged rape of a French woman by the Parisian press just a few weeks before, and guess what he said? Yes, I love women. So what? So what? Don't collect $200. Go directly to jail, Mr. Dominic Strauss-Kahn. The Saturnalia, my friends, is worldwide. Some years ago, I got some material from a good friend of mine, former Los Angeles head of the FBI, Ted Gunderson. It was about a group called the Child Finders. That sounds like an adoption agency. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They adopted children all right. They grabbed children. They abducted, kidnapped children from the United States because the Saudi Arabian and other Persian Gulf sheikhs loved little white boys. And there was a group set up with the permission of the CIA and the White House and the FBI just to kidnap and abduct little boys. And they were flying them by Saudi Arabian jet to the Middle East to be raped and then killed. They actually had a group called the Child Finders. It came out in the newspapers, and a few days later, it was all covered up. It was all covered up. Well, that's overseas. Let's come to the United States. Talk about Saturnalia. First, let's talk about the most recent event. Anthony Weiner, congressman from, what was it, the Bronx in New York? I don't know, one of those places in New York. I think it's Bronx, the New York City area. Anthony Weiner, homosexual, yes. Let me give you the real facts about the case. What you have never been told, even though it was reported all over the television sets. They say that he had at least six women he was sending sexual messages to, and it accidentally got on Facebook, a picture of him, his sex organ or something bulging, and all these horrible details came out. He was sending sexually perverted photographs to women over Facebook, one of these social media networks. And his wife didn't know he was doing it, evidently, they say. His wife is named Huma, H-U-M-A, Abedin, A-B-E-D-I-N. Now, Abedin, if I can remember right, her mother was from India, her father was from Pakistan, or vice versa, doesn't matter to me. And she supposedly was raised Muslim. Now, the family lived in Saudi Arabia, even though her father, if I can remember right, as I said, was Pakistani or Indian. And evidently they got, you know, in quite good graces with the Saudi Arabians. And somehow they ended up in the state of Michigan, and then Huma went to, I believe it was George Washington University, but she never graduated as far as I know. And even though she didn't graduate, she was invited from university. She was invited to be an intern at the White House, Huma Abedin. Now, this is before she met Anthony Weiner, okay? Now, I promised you the full details of the Anthony Weiner case. So she goes to the White House and works in the East Wing as the intern directly working for Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, on the other side of the White House was Bill Clinton in the Oval Office, and there he had an intern too, and her name was Monica Lewinsky. Now, as it turns out, both Monica Lewinsky, who was the intern and the sexual partner for Bill Clinton, and Huma Abedin over on the other side of the White House, the wing where Hillary Clinton was the Caesaress and the queen, the wicked queen of the East or West, whatever wing it was, she took Huma, the pretty, thin, statuesque Huma, as her intern. Lewinsky for Bill, Huma Abedin intern for Hillary. And of course, as you know, and as I reported in my book, Big Sister is Watching You, Hillary is a flaming lesbian. And everybody in Washington knows that. And now, of course, Hillary is Secretary of State and Huma Abedin is still with her after all these years. Right-hand girl. They call her, in fact, in the press, they call her Hillary's body woman. Mm-hmm. Everywhere Hillary goes, Huma goes. The problem is when Hillary became Secretary of State in 2009, as soon as Obama took office, she became Secretary of State, and they believed it would be an embarrassment sending her around the world, and all the foreign leaders would know she's openly a lesbian living with her body woman, Huma Abedin. A little bit of an embarrassment. Word was getting around to Americans, too. They decided something had to be done. They had to cover it up. The way to do it was to find her a husband, supposedly. And so Huma Abedin was teamed up with this little punk, Anthony Weiner, who was about a 40-year-old congressman from New York. Now, you know how they do it. Remember Liza Minnelli? She married the guy who was a gay guy. Well, the reason why was Liza Minnelli is a lesbian. And they usually marry a gay man to make it look good. Well, we're not homosexuals. We're married. I've got a husband and I've got a wife. But of course, the truth is Anthony Weiner is a homosexual. Now, I know he sent dirty pictures to at least six women on Facebook, but I'll get around to that and explain it. Huma Abedin then had a cover, and so did Anthony Weiner. He had a wife. She had a husband. But they didn't live together. Huma Abedin is always, ever since she was an intern and hooked up with Hillary, has always lived in Hillary's apartment. She's her girl, her toy girl. Now, in a minute, we're going to come back. I'm going to take a little break. When we come back, I'll tell you about the White House bordello and what has been going on with Hillary Clinton and Huma and how all of that, sad scandal occurred. And then we're going to talk about George W. Bush and Laura Bush and Lyndon B. Johnson and Rudy Giuliani and Mitt Romney and much, much more as we look at Washington, D.C., Babylon on the Potomac, the Saturnalia parties. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's my newest book. And boy, do I lay out the facts. Do I document the eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds. Every time you look at the Saturnalia, the sex festivals being held 365 days a year, 24/7 in Washington, D.C., you find out that there are Jews behind them. Jews behind them. And I understand that because Judaism, the religion of Judaism, is a sex cult. The Talmud is so sickeningly full of sexual material and information and all about bodily processes and everything from women's menstruation. You know, a woman named Kay, wrote a book some years ago entitled A Hole in the Sheet. I was curious. Why would this Jewish woman write a book entitled A Hole in a Sheet? I found out that according to the Talmud, when a Jewish man has been married for 10 years on his 10th anniversary, it is permissible according to the Talmud, which is the holy book of the Jews. They respect and admire and venerate the Talmud more than they do the Old Testament and the Torah of the Old Testament. And the Talmud tells them how all kind of sexual things they have to do. There's 613 laws in the Talmud and all kind of commentary about them. And one part of the Talmud talks about the fact that on the 10th anniversary of his marriage, a Jewish man is allowed to have sex with a woman other than his wife. Perfectly legit. God blesses his adulterous act. That's according to the Talmud. But there is one little bitty provision, one little sticky point. He must take a sheet and he must make a little hole where the male organ goes through. And he must lay the sheet over the naked Jewish woman that he's having the adultery affair with and have relations with her with a sheet over her. He cannot see the woman that he's having sex with. Now, his wife is supposed to permit this and be happy with it. Talk about sick. I tell you one thing. On my 10th anniversary with Wanda, I would have never imagined such a thing. Well, Wanda, I'm going to be a little busy tonight over at the No-Tell Motel. Got my sheet right here with my hole in it ready to go. I don't think I'd have been able to leave the house alive. I think Wanda would have taken that sheet and strangled me with it, threw it over my head. I'd been running out of the house with her beating on me with one of those, you know, what do they, those women have those rolling pins, yeah. Like, remember that comic, the cartoons they used to have, the old guy would run after her husband with a rolling pin. He probably deserved it. I don't know. But yeah, Wanda would take a rolling pin to me, Jerry. You're right. Jerry always thinks of the right words when I get a little, you know, can't get them out of my mouth. He finishes my sentences for me sometimes. Wanda does that too, you know. My letter, I'm afraid of that rolling pin. No, I'm just teasing. She's a sweetheart. She'd never do that. Besides, I wouldn't want to hurt her. That's a bang. I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings by doing such a terrible, cruddy thing. Well, in any case, that's the Jewish religion for you, you know? Well, I talk about the Jewish religion as a sex cult in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. But it's much more than that. You'll find out what Spiro Agnew, former vice president, said about the Jews. You'll find out what Bobby Fischer, former world's grand chess master, said about the Jews. You'll discover what Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, said about the Jews. You'll find out what Billy Graham, world famous evangelist, said about the Jews. Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter. You'll find out what the Jews say about themselves. I quote one high-level Jewish politician who said it's true. He admitted it's true. Our God is Lucifer. And you'll find all of that in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. By the way, you'll find out that the Six-Pointed Star is numerically coded with the number of the beast from Revelation 13, 666. When you look at the Israeli flag, look at it, the Six-Pointed Star. Its meaning is 666. The number of the beast. Unbelievable, isn't it? And it's true. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. A lot of people said you're crazy to write such a book, Tex. Don't you realize how powerful they are? You could end up dead. You could end up in a prison cell. Well, I've just got to do what's right. Maybe I will. But that's up to God. It's not up to the Jews. It's not up to the Israeli Mossad. It's up to God. When he wants me to leave this earth, that's when I'll leave it. I'll leave it up to him. I'll be in heaven. How do I know? Because I know God's promises. And by the way, I don't deserve to be in heaven, but I'm going to be there anyway. It's a gift from God. And through no works of my own. Thank you, Jesus. But I do want to do good works. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what's right. That's why I wrote this book. And folks, please do what's right yourself. Order this book. I don't get any royalties for the book. All the money goes back into the ministry. And I only get paid if there's money left over, you know, at the end of the year. That's the only money that I make. This is not a 501c3. This is not a government-sanctioned, approved, tax-exempt organization. If it were, I wouldn't be able to write this book. You know, I wrote Big Sister is Watching You about Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I was audited 4 years by the IRS. They've got worldly powers. But you know what? We've got a benefactor in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. Read this book. Discover the truth and go tell others. Buy an extra copy. Give it to a pastor. Give it to a friend. Give it to a neighbor. There's no dirty words in this book. I don't even talk about, you know, I don't think I talk about White House bordellos. If I did, I'd be as, you know, nice as I could about it. These are pretty disgusting things, but they need to be exposed. A lot of these things are just exposed in the Bible. World leaders were unmasked by God's holy hand as he wrote the Bible by inspiring holy men. And that's what I'm doing today. Now, how to get a copy of this 432-page book, large format, many pictures, sort of another Tex Mars grand production, they call it. You know, I'm sort of getting used, Jerry, to writing these big books. I don't know when I'm going to write another, you know, just a regular size book. These giant encyclopedic type books just keep, you know, coming to me. Thank the Lord. I don't think if it wasn't a giant book, maybe people wouldn't believe it. So I documented everything. Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. $25, regularly $30, $29.95, $30. Add $5, you're back up to $30, but you get free shipping then. Total of $30, postpaid, full shipping, $30 for the book, Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. Here's how to get it. Go online at powerofprophecy.com. You can get it there, powerofprophecy.com. You can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. You can write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. If you're overseas, send us a check, or a cashier check or money order made out in dollars, please, and add 20%. For special handling for overseas. Let's go to our regular program. Again, a last little word. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. In the USA to order the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's really moving, I'll tell you. We're really sending out a lot of those books. A lot of people are no longer fearful of the Jews. They're sick and tired of being, in jeopardy for telling the truth. A lot of people say, I'm going to tell the truth from now on. And thank God for the courage of the listeners of Power Prophecy. You know, Jerry, the letters I get, the emails I get, I think we have the most intelligent audience in the world. I do. We have doctors and lawyers, and you know what? We have a lot of just plain working folks that are smarter than a lot of doctors and lawyers that listen to this program. And I thank God for every one of you. I start off this program, Hello Friends, because I believe that I'm among friends. I feel like you're in the studio right here with me. You're my friend. You know, one of the greatest compliments, probably the greatest compliment Jesus paid other than salvation, which is incomparable, was he told his disciples, You're not only my disciples, he said, you are my friends. Can you imagine being the friend of God? Wow. I do have friends in high places. I've got the angels. I've got Jesus. Well, we're talking about a bad subject, far from Jesus. But he knows about it. He's keeping track. He's watching. I'm talking about Washington, D.C., Babylon on the Potomac. Congressman Anthony Weiner and Uma Abedin have lived a lie. They never married. Uma is a lesbian live-in lover of Hillary Clinton. Weiner is a homosexual who has had many male lovers in the House of Representatives and has even had sex with them in the House gym and elsewhere. Now, House Speaker John Boehner knows about that. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi knew it was going on. It was no surprise. They know that many of the congressmen and senators are homosexuals. Well, here's what happened. Weiner needed to hide the fact that he was a homosexual. The guy used to oil up his body and wear rubber pants, you know, rubber briefs, and go to gay parties when he was in college. They said he was very flamboyant. That's the new word for gay now. He's flamboyant. He's a limp-wristed flamboyant man. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, it seems that Uma Abedin needed to cover up the fact she was a lesbian living with Hillary. And Anthony Weiner wanted to cover up the fact that he was a homosexual. So they agreed to marry each other, quote-unquote. But they never really married. Now, I guess they couldn't find a minister or pastor to officiate. So they got Bill Clinton. That was the easiest thing to do. They got Bill Clinton to officiate their marriage. Now, Bill Clinton's not a pastor. He's not a minister. And according to the official of the state of New York that I've checked with, guess what? A former president, just because he was ex-president, is not qualified, he is not ordained, he is not qualified to marry anyone. I mean, to officiate at a marriage. Yet, if you go read about the marriage of Anthony Weiner and Uma Abedin, we're told that they got married in a private ceremony at a mansion in Long Island. That's where all the billionaires live. All the Democrat billionaires live, particularly. In a mansion on Long Island outside of New York City. And that the marriage ceremony was conducted by none other than Bill Clinton himself. And the press was not invited. And not one picture is available of the marriage. Now, there is a picture of Miss Humadon in a long dress, a gown by the famous designer Oscar de la Renta that probably cost $50,000. It's not a wedding gown, though. It's just a regular dress. Like you go to a big debutante ball or something. And there is Weiner dressed in a suit. And there's nobody around him. I think it's out in Central Park in New York. There's out among some trees. That's the only thing you can find. Look at the images, you know, the pictures on Google. That's the only picture they released. It's not even a picture of a marriage. There's no picture of Bill Clinton standing there reading from the little book, you know, do you take this woman? Do you take this man to be your, no, there's none of that. Somebody joked to me when I was telling about this, they were laughing. They said, well, instead of having the regular marriage handbook of the ministers, Bill Clinton would probably be holding up a copy of Playboy or Hustler, wouldn't he? Knowing him, reading from Hustler. Yeah, probably. But a president, a former president, has no legal authority to marry anyone. But in fact, I have discovered that Weiner and Uma have never lived or had sex together. It's been a sham. That's why when he went out to speak to the press and apologize and all this stuff, Uma was never there. And then, in fact, right during the midst of the scandal, she ran off overseas on another trip with her girlfriend, Hillary. It came out in the newspapers today that Uma is so upset that she's decided to have a little time for herself. She and Weiner are separated. Some say they're considering divorce. Well, that'll be easy. They won't even have to do any paperwork. They were never married. They showed them a few times on, you know, shopping and such. You get a little, they call it photo opportunities to pretend they were married. Now, you ask the question, if he's a homosexual, why was he sending these things to women? Well, homosexuals like that. A lot of them are weirdos. A lot of homosexuals are bisexual, of course, and they sometimes have sex with women. You know, right in the midst, just at the time when everything on this crisis was getting at its height, at its pinnacle, and people were talking about Anthony Weiner needed to resign, it suddenly came out and they said that Huma is pregnant. She's pregnant. Now, she's not showing yet, but she's pregnant. And I guess everybody thought they'd say, oh, that poor man. He's got a pregnant wife. We should feel sorry for him. He doesn't have to resign. He's beloved by the people of New York as a congressman. Let's let him stay there in office. But that didn't work out. You know, back when George Herbert Walker Bush was known to be bisexual, that's the senior Bush in Washington, D.C., the Bush administration had to figure out a strategy. How do we let people know that George Herbert Walker Bush doesn't want to be known as a gay, even though he is gay? Now, you may not have known about this, but Sarah McClellan, who used to be a correspondent for one of the news services, was a White House correspondent. Now, she's about, other than Helen Thomas, she was about the most famous White House correspondent there was. Now, it turned out that during the presidential campaign, George Herbert Walker Bush, that's the senior Bush, there was a rumor that came out among the press that he was having an affair with one of his top female aides, a woman named Jennifer. And in fact, a CNN reporter asked him at a press conference, is it true you're having an affair with your female aide, Jennifer? And George Herbert Walker Bush said, how dare you? That is outrageous. There's no truth to that at all. And Jennifer is a wonderful woman, a married woman, and you have no proof of that. And how dare you? Well, the fact is, there was no proof of it. Dear friends, listen to me. In fact, there was no affair going on with this Jennifer. But here's the deal. The supposed leak on this, the information, the rumor, the gossip about it, came from guess where? The campaign of George Herbert Walker Bush. You see, the word was getting out that he was gay. How do you stop that kind of a rumor? We'll put out the word you're a ladies' man. Yeah, I'm George Herbert Walker Bush. I got a woman here, man. We're having an affair. Sarah McClellan found out about it. In an interview with American Free Press, which was Spotlight newspaper at the time, she said, isn't it interesting? I tracked down this gossip, this rumor, that President Bush was having an affair with his assistant, Jennifer. Come to find out, it came from the Bush people. They started it all. And Ms. McClellan, of course, knew what had happened. That's what happened with Weiner. I'm even going to suggest to you, friends, Weiner had been chosen. Huma Abedin, as the body woman for Hillary, had been chosen to be a future senator or governor of the state of New York. Weiner had been chosen by the Democratic operatives in Washington, D.C. to become, in 2013, the mayor of New York City to replace Mayor Bloomberg. A Jew replaces a Jew. And after becoming mayor, they were actually planning on someday Weiner becoming president of the United States. That's how much the Jews love this homosexual beast of a man, or of a something, whatever he was. They had all these rewards, political rewards, waiting for them. But word got out again that Weiner was having sex with men. It was running through the party circles in Washington, D.C. Psst, psst, whisper. Did you know that Weiner is a queer? They had to cover it up. I think he went to see Bill Clinton. Bill, you got away with it, with Monica. How did you do it? I think Bill told him, look, let me tell you what happened with George Herbert Walker Bush. He put out a rumor he was having an affair with a woman, but there was no proof of it. And he was able to bat it down at a news conference. And it went away. But still, the public got the idea that he was a man. He wasn't a limp wrist. He wasn't a pansy. You need that too. You need to look like a man's man. I suggest you let some little photos leak out online. Now, don't cheat on your wife like I did. That was bad. Just let some photos go and then apologize for them. I'm so sorry these came out. I want to apologize to my wife, to my constituents, etc. It'll all boil over and everybody will never again say you're homosexual. Don't you remember? Well, he was sending out those pictures to all those girls. Yeah, don't you remember? He's a man's man. He could be president. Clinton was a president, and look at all he did. This guy never even cheated on his wife. And I think that was what their agreement was. The same man that supposedly married him but didn't, Bill Clinton, advised him to put out these pictures. Well, there it was. It all backfired, though. Thing got out of hand. Man lost his job. Now Huma doesn't need him anymore. She still wants to be senator from New York or governor. But he's a nobody anymore. He's been kicked out. He's disgraced. She doesn't need the guy. That's why they're separated now. So you heard it here first, my friends. They were never married. This is the kind of sham. This is the kind of hoax they have in Washington, D.C. and in New York City. You know, one of the mayors of New York in past decades was a man named John Lindsay. And to my surprise and horror, I understand that Florence Henderson, remember the actress, the mother in the Brady Bunch? People will do anything for money. She has a biography coming out, Florence Henderson, where she admits that she had an affair with John Lindsay, who was the mayor of New York City. Yes, she says she went to New York and he took her to the mayor. John Lindsay took her to his penthouse apartment. They had sex. And he gave her a gift to commemorate their sex act. Unfortunately, the gift was a venereal disease. That's in her biography. She must be a real sicko person to write a biography that would put the sordid details. But she's doing it for money. Why else would the book sell unless it was dirty and filthy? That's why people buy books today, friends. Well, we go from, I could go on and on. Laura Bush. Laura Bush, when she was first lady, did you know the Library Association of Texas was going to have an exhibit at one of the largest public libraries in Dallas, Texas? They asked Laura Bush, the first lady, because she's from Texas, along with her husband, George W., would she recommend what she believed was the most enjoyable and best example of a play or a book that was written, the plot of which was written by a Texas writer? What do you think she chose? And they put it on display. It was the play that was made into a movie entitled The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. That was Laura Bush's choice, the first lady. Later on, Laura Bush, I was watching TV one night and they were having a press correspondence banquet for the president. All the members of the press were there. Even Billy Graham was there. A bunch of other people, not even of the press, were there. The place was full of Hollywood celebrities and, you know, people from CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox News and all were all there. And Laura Bush got up. And it was a little bit of a roast, you know, of the president. And Laura Bush told a joke. I won't tell you the joke. But it was a joke about George W. as president. No, I don't think I'll even mention that. No, I don't. What he did sexually with an animal. No, I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to give you this. She did it publicly at a banquet and it was on television. Laura Bush, can you imagine? That's why in my book, Conspiracy World, I have an entire chapter entitled White House Bordello. Proof George W. Bush is a bisexual. By the way, another Republican, Rudy Giuliani. In my book, you'll see a picture of him dressed as a woman, as a transgender. He's dressed as a woman. He showed up in public like that. And he and Donald Trump actually did a video. Jerry, do we still have that on our, I don't know if we do the video, I think it was on our website, prayerprophecy.com, of Rudy Giuliani in drag clothing, wearing these stockings, showing his legs and high heels. Rudy Giuliani, he still wants to be president. By the way, Mitt Romney, he wants to be president too. He's a member of a sex cult, Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is one of the biggest sex cults in the world. And Mitt Romney actually led the gay pride parades when he was governor of Massachusetts there in Boston. And he's quoted, and this is in my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Mitt Romney said, vote for me because I'm pro-gay. By the way, he was also pro-abortion. He's flip-flopped on that. He said, if you make me your governor, I will out Kennedy Ted Kennedy. Think of that in terms of promoting gayism. I will out Kennedy Ted Kennedy. Mitt Romney. And now the guy wants to be president. Incredible, isn't it? You know, this babble on the Potomac goes all the way back in the White House, certainly to Eleanor Roosevelt, who had her woman or her female lover in the White House with her. That's now admitted in her biographies. Meanwhile, Franklin Roosevelt had his mistress living with him in the White House. LBJ's chief of staff in the White House was a man named Jenkins, who was gay as a $3 bill and was caught in a city park in Washington, D.C., having sex with another man in the toilet, the public privy. And LBJ said, I'm going to have to fire him because now that's in the press. Everybody knows about it. The Washington, D.C. Park Police arrested him. Jenkins was his name. Lady Bird went to see LBJ and said, I don't think you should be fired. He's a wonderful man. So what if he is a homosexual? LBJ said, Lady Bird, you don't understand. We can't let a homosexual stay as our White House confidant. America's not ready for that. Well, now, friends, evidently they are ready for that because Obama is also a bisexual. In fact, every time he goes back to Honolulu, Hawaii, he always plays golf and runs around with one of his boyhood friends, a man named Bobby Titcomb, T-I-T, that's right, Titcomb, T-I-T-C-O-M-B, Bobby Titcomb. They golf together. Robert Richard Titcomb. You may want to read about him in Google it up and read about him. He was in the news recently, arrested during a male prostitution sting. Arrested on prostitution charges. That's right. He's a homosexual. And he offered to pay an escort who was actually an undercover offer, $100 for sex. I wonder what Obama and him do out on the golf course and after they finish playing golf. No wonder Obama goes on these vacations so often. But then there's Ann Coulter, who recently spoke at it before a gay group. Ann Coulter, she's written a new book called Demonic. Well, rightly so, she must be demonic. She's bragging about how she loves homosexuals, has no problem with lesbians and homosexuals. Matt Drudge, he's a Jew and a gay. Andrew Breitbart, he's now on the board of directors of some Republican gay organization. It goes on and on. By the way, Barack Obama has made history with his new social secretary, Jeremy Bernard. He's a gay. He's homosexual. He's living with his male partner. He's Obama's social secretary. They're all enjoying their wicked Saturnalias. But you know, Rome eventually fell. Babylon fell. And friends, the handwriting is on the wall. With this wickedness, this perversity, can America last much longer? Think about it. This is Tex Mars. So glad you were with us today. Even on such a disgusting topic as this. Remember, there's only one hope in the world. His name is Jesus. He is Christ. He is Lord. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week at the same time and discover the power of prophecy.